Now, on the line, I have Lisa Howard, and we're going to be chatting about the outcome of General Election 2020 and what's going to be the impact of that on... go ahead, Lisa.
Could you finish the question there?
Yeah. yeah. No, we're going to be chatting about... the outcome of General Election 2020, and then it's, I suppose, the wishes for the incoming government and how they are going to support people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in relation to the most recent general election there 2 weeks ago, with the incoming coalition and the outgoing coalition, they hope to have more with their manifestos, they hope that they can carry through and actually provide for the population of the country instead of saying we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And as you've seen with the last government, it hadn't followed through properly. Things weren't met, and other things hadn't been completed. So hopefully, with whoever comes into government with this coalition after this general election, that they'll do a lot better than what they've done before.
Do you feel that the last government they had a lot of great ideas, but very little follow through?
To rephrase that, Michael, to they have great ideas and no follow through.
Yeah, well,
they haven't met the needs of the people.
That seems
with disabilities.
Yeah, well, that seems to be a theme that a lot of people are saying in across most areas. You know, when we're talking about housing, the homeless, and that sort of thing. That they have been great ideas, but very little practical things done. But. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll start with that, and maybe see what's happening at the moment and what you think could be dealt with fairly quickly.
Well, at the moment, as you've probably seen and heard on radio and television, news bulletins, other political programmes, is that with the coalition that's been formed in Dáil Éireann, there's now an argument of who's actually going to form a coalition. Because as you've seen from the results went three-way. It went to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. And the thing is that the people of Ireland want change from a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government to hopefully, let's say, Fine Gael and Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. So, but as you probably heard on the news, that if it was a Fine Gael, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin coalition, Leo Varadkar has been adamant before and after this election that he's never going to government with them.
And what would your feelings be on a Sinn Féin Fianna Fáil government?
I'd actually like to see change from the pattern of Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government to either Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin or Fine Gael and Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
I want to, myself as well as I'm probably speaking for the rest of the country, we all want change.
Yeah, and it would seem that like they would need someone like the Greens or the Labour Party to go in with them to give them a majority as well.
They do. They're also looking into the independents to go in to make up the numbers.
Yeah, but to be honest. When you actually look at the numbers that are there, particularly since Labour have said they won't go in to any sort of a coalition with Sinn Féin, it leaves them just too short of numbers. They can't make it.
No, they can't. So the Sinn Féin were by popularity, Sinn Féin were topping the polls. But by other polls, it turned out Fine Gael were topping other other poll for who's going to government. So everyone wanted, more or less wanted, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin to go. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks or months.
Yeah, well, I think that that may be kind of going on the premise that opposites attract. And I said this a couple of times over the weekend since the election on Saturday, that it is a strange thing that when you look back at history, Fine Gael have been the ones who have actually have more experience of taking a group such as Sinn Féin, like that they took in, they went into coalition with Clonmacnoise back at the foundation of the state, and then they went into government with the ex-members of the official Sinn Féin, you know, which had turned into I can't remember what the Democratic Left, or I can't remember what they call themselves, and then joined up with the Labour Party. So, you know, that would have been Pontius de Rossa and so forth. So they have that history of doing it, where actually Fianna Fáil don't have that history of that kind of coalitions. But this will be a very interesting coalition this time, because you're going to be looking at parties of equal size. You know,
it will when they get the numbers to form the coalition, and then they'll have to go by that of which of the parties are going into government.
Yeah, you know, we could debate this all day, but let's look at what are the policies that you think a new government should bring in to support people with disabilities?
That would be one of my main ones, considering I do have a physical disability. Because, you know, like, and obviously with a physical disability like mine, I do have health issues. So my areas of debate would be based in areas like health and housing for people with disabilities, since there seems to be, well, I wouldn't say a lack, but the waiting list to get one adapted for a person with a disability is longer.
Yeah, is that a theme right throughout the health system, in that it's not that, you know, things aren't provided, it's just it takes so long to get anything done. The waiting lists are way too long. You know, if you have a complaint, there's no point in waiting 2 years to get something done, where if you have private health insurance, you can get it done the following week.
Yeah, that's true. Or with the private health insurance, you could get it done within a matter of months. You know, like, depending on what you're looking for, it could be either tomorrow, next week, or next month, in which if you didn't have your private policy, healthcare policy, you could be waiting months or maybe years on end to get it.
And now, is that a fault of the powers that be, the government, or is this something within the health professions that they are trying to force people into a private healthcare system where they pay up front?
It'd be a bit of both, you know, like, it's up to the public or the patients of the hospitals or the GP to take out their own health insurance policy, you know, like, I know from my own experiences, I do have health insurance, you know, like, so I would be covered. And also with regards to getting the health insurance that's needed for the patient's procedures or whatever it may be, it could take a while if they don't have health insurance. They'd have to figure out a way of how to pay for it themselves.
Yeah, it's something that I would say jars with me, but also I'm trying to get my head around it, why we have the waiting lists we have. If, you know, if I go in as a public patient that, I don't know, have cataracts, or that I have arthritic knee or hip, and I need a hip or a knee replacement, where if I go in as a public patient, I could be waiting 2 years. But if I go in private, I'm going to get seen straight away, and I'll get done within, you know, within 10 days to 2 weeks. I'll have an operation and a new hip in, and on we go. I don't understand why there's that time lag, particularly when in the majority of cases you're going to be going into a public hospital anyway.
Yeah, but for the health insurance, the insurance company would assist in covering the costs of your medical procedure. So it would speed things up to get things covered.
But, you know, if it's down to just solely cost...
Yeah.
Right?
It's also... not based solely on financial cover of the procedure that the patient is getting done. They also have to, if your surgeon or your doctor or consultant wants to admit you for a procedure, they'll have to wait on a bed to become available to them.
And is it then that there are in public hospitals, there are a certain amount of beds left for private patients?
It wouldn't really work out if you have. It doesn't work out if you have private or public health insurance of where you go. It's the private and public health insurance would be to cover you and to insure you in case something else happens to you in hospital, and to cover the cost. In which for the waiting list for a bed, that's a different issue. That's up to the hospital to provide the bed for you.
Yeah, but if I'm a public patient and I walk in, I get seen by a consultant, and he says, you meet the criteria, you need a new hip, I'll schedule you in for 2 years' time. I go in as a private patient, I see the same consultant, and he says, you need a new hip, you meet the criteria, I'll schedule you in, and you're paying, so I'll put you in next week. I'll make time for you next week. I don't understand how he can do that next week for someone, even though they're paying. My understanding was that we had a problem with the system. We didn't have enough beds, we didn't have enough that. Yeah. This or the other. So how can, if we don't have enough beds, how can the private patient get in that quickly?
Because it's covered by their health insurance company instead, because the hospital will be waiting for payment. Yep. In which, for if you're paying by your health insurance, they'll assist in covering the cost. But if you have to pay a loan and they want the money, you know, because hospitals do expect to either get the money off the hospital, off your health insurance when you put in for it, or when you're admitted, and they'll
that says to me then that the health service is underfunded.
In some ways it is, but in other ways, depending on what you need it for, it isn't. You know, like for health insurance, because it goes for it'll go, the way you'd be going for your health insurance is to go to your insurance broker, and then they'll lead you to the health insurance company that you need to be with.
So
get your health insurance policy out.
So as a person with disabilities,
yes,
when you engage with the health services.
Yeah.
What would you like to see changed in that?
Well, things done. I want to see, you know, like waiting lists, obviously, well, I'll be speaking for everyone, the waiting list to be cut short, and for the health service to act promptly and a lot more sufficient when it comes to the needs of people who need, with especially with disabilities, who need extra medical supplies.
And
they'll need to be sought or got out quicker than what they are now.
And did you find that a difficulty, that medical supplies that you need or for people with disabilities are slow in coming?
They are slow in coming because if I had put in an order, let's say for some medical supplies that I'm in need of at the moment, I'd put the order in today and it won't be for 10 days to 2 weeks before I get them.
But,
instead of tomorrow.
But if you are actually going out and going to buy them, you can get them straight away.
If that wasn't the case, I could go out and buy them.
But, you know, you see, in my head, and I come from a business background, I worked in business all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see and I don't understand why there is a difference between public and private. Because mm-hmm. in both scenarios, people are getting paid.
The private in health insurance, you'd be seen quicker. But you're going privately.
Yeah, but there's no reason that should be. It's simply, to me, that it's just greed. Is somebody saying, oh, they're paying cash up front, mm-hmm. so we're going to look after them first. The public patient is also paying. The state is paying. So there should be no difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you pay up front, they probably will see it quicker because they'd prefer to see the money cash in hand or check or whatever way your way of payment may be. In which if you were a patient without a health insurance policy, they'll wonder why you don't have it taken out in the first place, and they'll make you wait longer.
Yeah, well, you see, you're not
to be seen.
You're just after putting your finger on something that I was trying to get to. Is mm-hmm. you said they will make you wait.
Yeah,
and that's the point. It's that the system shouldn't matter whether you're public or private.
Mm-hmm.
It's people within the system are in, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying they're probably not doing it on purpose, but I think there's a mental attitude that public patients, they can wait. He's private, he's paying, let him go first.
Mm-hmm.
When there's no rhyme nor reason why that should happen. Not within our system.
Yeah.
And I know.
And
particularly where the private patient is using the public facilities as well.
Mm-hmm. With the private health insurance is, you know, like, as you know, you're paying it yourself, although you're paying it both ways yourself, but the way the hospitals would see it, you know, like once you have your health insurance policy or your insurance in general covered, they'll take it quicker because you're insured by them there and then, in which if you don't and you have to pay yourself, the hospital will wait for you to pay before they admit.
Yeah, it's...
It's
a bit of a catch-22. It is a bit of a catch-22, but I personally believe this is not about money. This is about a management style and what's the word? I'm looking for a particular word. It's a It's how the whole system has been set up, and it's how people are thinking within the system. Mm-hmm. It's custom and practice within the system that needs to be changed. People's attitudes need to be changed.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, I think the people within our system, you know, our doctors and nurses and things like that, they're very good, they're really good professionals and a whole lot. But I think there's a need for a change in how they work.
Yeah, but they need to come up with a better structure. I feel that with the new coalition, with the new government incoming, they will have hopefully a better infrastructure with regards to how the health system is managed.
Indeed, and a new culture needs to be adopted within the health system.
It does. It badly, you know, it does, because with the waiting lists that are being currently seen at the moment, you know, like, it's a disgrace that the lists are being dragged, you know, like, going longer by the day instead of shorter.
Now, let me ask you this question, and it may be a tough question for you. But if you were sitting down in front of whoever is going to be the new Minister for Health, what are the three things you would ask them to do? Three specific things you would like to see done?
I'd ask them to do something with regards to the waiting lists, to see if they can manage it better, or try and cut them so that people are seen quicker. I'd also put to them with regards to people with disabilities, how we can get our needs met more promptly. As I've seen in the past, and going by my own experiences, we've been kept waiting when it shouldn't have happened. And also my third point to them would be what will be our next step with regards to getting our next procedure done, and how we can get it done or get our needs met a lot sooner.
Yeah, there's something I had, and just from what you were saying there, and the way my mind works, I relate everything across to different areas. And it's something in my business life. I noted that I don't mean this to be getting at accountants, but normally when accountants got involved in the operational running of a business, and this is not management accountants, but these are, you know, the numbers men got involved. It ended up costing, everything costed more to do, because they took these strict budget lines and said, right, for January you've got this much to spend, for February you've got this much to spend, for, you know, going down the line. But what was happening was that if you needed something in January, but you'd spent your allotment for January, you had to wait till February before you could buy something. But what happened was that because you didn't have whatever you needed in January, it caused so many problems and held up so many things that it actually cost more in February for the product that you needed just to get yourself back on track. So I think that the budgetary system within health causes so many problems and also costs so much more. I'll give you an incident. A lady in Tipperary 18 months ago broke her hip, mm-hmm. had to go into hospital, got the hip done. She then was ready to be released, but she couldn't go home because she needed a stair lift put in. The stair lift to be put in would cost 1,200 euro. The powers that be wouldn't spend the 1,200 euros to put in the stair lift because they said, well, no, she's not entitled to that on our list, right? So what did they do? They said, oh, we'll have to go into a convalescing home. So they put her into a convalescing home, which was costing 1,200 a week.
Even more.
Right? So say she goes into the convalescent home for 3 months. So that's 12 weeks at 1,200.
Yeah.
A week.
A week.
Where if they had put in just the one 1,200 into putting into the stairlift into her house, she could have gone home.
Yeah, she could have.
So how does that make money? And that's all down to the accounting system and the budgetary system.
It is. That makes more sense. They should have put the stairlift in instead of admitting her to a convalescent home.
Exactly. Technically, everybody did everything correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But common sense, and if you're in private business, the CEO would slap you around the back of the head and say, spend a little bit of money over there. It's going to save me a huge amount of money over here. Don't be acting the idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got dealing with a big bureaucracy, it tends to work on, no, you do everything in these little boxes. But it costs a lot more.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
So if I was asking, sitting down in front of the new Minister for Health, I'd be asking him to actually bring that approach, to get out of the siloed way of thinking of my budget, you know, your budget across the way, and actually to start thinking cross-functionally and get people talking together. Get the different areas within the hospital, within the care needs of people, to start to talk together and to actually work together so that it costs less and people get a better service.
Yeah, that would be, you know, like the ideal scenario for the future. So with the way things are going currently, it's clearly not happening. Something needs to be done to rectify it.
Indeed. Lisa, we have been speaking for the best end of half an hour now. I'm going to have to go for a break. Maybe we could maybe talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And
on the same topic, or on the
topics of what you see are the hot topics for people with disabilities at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Lisa.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. Listen, thanks for chatting with me this morning.
No problem. Thank you, Michael.
All the best. Slán leat.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Slán go fóill. Bye.